This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
Rodgers has provided the Jets with a wish list of free agents.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let me say this.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I like the way you think, Aaron. Now that's a thinker. It's not my money. It's not his money.
Today's guest, Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz, Eagles center Jason Kelce, NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. And now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bucky Brooks, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, making his way to the studio in the L.A. rain because at the top of the draft, there is a question as to who the Carolina Panthers are going to take first overall. Who did they trade up eight spots to go get? Who will be second on the clock with the Houston Texans? What will the Indianapolis Colts do? Will somebody trade in front of the Colts at four with the Cardinals at three? There is so much to discuss. And of course, Bucky can give us his expert opinions on all the maneuvers that have been made so far in the two-day-old now negotiation window, the new league year. And free agency for everybody in the NFL begins in about 5 hours from now. There is Aaron Rodgers currently announcing his decision as to what he wants to do. And Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, tweeting out that the Packers and Jets are still talking turkey about what the trade terms for Rodgers would be. And Pelissero mentioning that Green Bay is not looking for multiple first-round picks like other quarterbacks like Wilson and Stafford have commanded in recent years. Talks ongoing. I'm unconcerned. Unconcerned. There will not be a holdup here because the Jets need it to happen. And the Jets' leverage in this is you take them back. That is the leverage, pal. That is the leverage. If you don't want us to have him, guess what? You have him back.
You take him.
You take him.
Could you imagine if that happens?
Dude, the Packers need to have this happen as badly as the Jets do right now. So everyone's in the same boat. Because Rodgers has made it known, clearly he wants to still play football. And if the Jets don't agree to terms with the Packers and Rodgers stays put, all that money's on their cap and all that money has got to be paid to the quarterback and he's going to start. How do you think he's going to feel if Lazard is already signed with the Jets and he goes back there and Lazard's not there? Huh? So all this business, Jets got to have it and the Packers have him over a barrel. Nah. There's a second way on this street. It's like, you take them back. See how it all plays out. It's a game of chicken, and I hope Joe Douglas is playing it the way that he should. I bet he is. This is going to happen. It's going to happen. John Smoltz calling into the program in short order, the Baseball Hall of Famer, who's calling World Baseball Classic games. Mike Del Tufo, when he calls in, I mean, you know what he sounds like since you obviously...
I've been working with Allmark doing the game tonight.
What's going on also, Chris Brockman out there, as Jason Kelce's joining us at the end of this hour to talk about his future plans with the Eagles. He's right. Coming back for a year.
We got some Patriots news. You know, they're in the market for a wide receiver after Jacoby Myers is headed to Las Vegas to team up with Josh McDaniels and Jimmy G there. According to Jeff Howe, The Athletic, the Pats have been calling about DeAndre Hopkins. Also called the Broncos about Jerry Jeudy. We know they were at Odell Beckham's workout last week at Arizona. Price point seems to be an issue. Seems like the Broncos want a first-round pick for Jeudy. Not sure what Arizona's looking for D-Hop, but we know he's got a pretty hefty price tag on the contract. So Patriots in the wide receiver market, Rich.
Need
playmakers. I mean, it's not the desirable spot it used to be with Tom Brady there, but they need to do something.
Guess what? Here's what I take from this. DeAndre Hopkins could play for somebody else this year. It's going to happen. It makes complete sense for the Arizona Cardinals to get something for him rather than make him play for, what, Colt McCoy?
Oh, yeah, he's not going
to be there. As they're trying to struggle in their rebuilding years, beginning with a new head coach. makes complete sense for him to be somewhere else and the Arizona Cardinals to have draft capital to use in this year's draft. I think this is 1,000%. If he is in play, New England wouldn't be a bad spot for him.
I mean, of course, the Pats could use him, but I just don't understand. I don't know why he would want to go there unless it's just to play with for Bill Belichick.
It's possible.
They're not a Super Bowl contender.
So where would he wind up? Kansas City? It's the same. Fill in the blanks.
Well, it's Kansas City. It's Dallas. Philly. It's
him in Dallas.
LA,
would just
wherever.
Be friggin' stupendous.
Can you imagine him on the Chargers? I mean,
the interesting thing about the Chargers that I'm looking forward to chatting with Bucky Brooks. Did you see who Bucky Brooks has the Chargers choosing in his latest mock draft?
Oh, I missed it.
His name is Bijan Robinson.
Oh, jeez.
Austin Eckler
is going to get moved.
Is about to be 28. And so for him, he's making it happen now. Good for you. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Bears just lost David Montgomery. You know, I would proffer to think they would go in that direction. And the running back market, an interesting choice that I think will be under the radar. Did you see Rashad Penny sign with the Eagles?
I did see that. They also brought back Boston Scott.
Yes. And they choose 10th overall. But look, Jerry Jeudy, I don't blame the Broncos for asking a one for him. I don't think they'll get it. They'd love to get back in the first round. I mean, they're going to try their hardest over the next 5-6 weeks to get back in the first two rounds of this draft. Very deep draft.
Very deep draft. I'm just looking at the back end. I mean, if you're Jacksonville, would you give up a one for?
Why do they need him? You got Calvin Ridley showing up.
Could never have enough weapons and pass catchers.
Then you got enough. You got enough. I wouldn't do that if
Minnesota?
I was in Jacksonville.
Get a little younger at the wide receiver. They just released Adam
Thielen.
For
Jeudy or for DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get a first-round pick, do you? Jerry Jeudy, still under 25. You can get a first-round pick for
All
him.
Right, do me a favor. Monitor the Twitter feed about what Aaron Rodgers is saying about his future, if you don't mind.
I mean, me and 400,000 other people.
Okay, appreciate
right
that. Greatly appreciate it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz, who calls the top games for Fox Sports, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. The World Baseball Classic going on, opening day right around the corner, and the second annual Invited Celebrity Classic is a nationally televised PGA Tour Champions competition that's in Las Colinas, Texas, just before the draft. He'll be part of that, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, John?
Doing great. It's a little bit unusual day here in Arizona. Rain.
Yep. Here as well.
I don't think I've seen it much.
I hear you, John. I hear you. What'd you think about the way your Lions finished the season? You know, it's football free agency day, and, you know, I always got football in the brain. They look pretty damn good, man.
You know, yeah, it's like the greatest torture you could ever imagine. You go into that game the week before, if something happens, you're playing for your playoff spot. You know, I've been in a straitjacket my whole life with the Lions, and to win that last game and knock out Green Bay was the torture because you just wonder if that could have happened if a playoff spot was available. But every year it's wait till next year, and I sure hope. I mean, I got a bucket list that's pretty full. I've pretty much accomplished and marked off a lot of things. The last item is going to a Super Bowl.
Well,
that's it. That's all I want in life.
How about ending Aaron Rodgers' Packers career? How about doing that that's what it looks like the Lions did, John.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like that in and of itself, you know, the whole world noticed the Lions and their guts and the, you know, the coach and what he was able to get his team prepared for, because leading into that game hours just before they got the news they weren't going to be in the playoffs. So to win that game says a lot, but it's the torture that all us Lions fans and growing up, you know, I've seen one victory in a playoff, one in 55 years. They don't even have to win the Super Bowl. They just, if they go, my bucket list is complete, and that's it. That's what I'm waiting for.
Have you met Dan Campbell yet? You ever meet him? You're the HC?
I have, I have not.
Oh, you'd
and
love
I'm
him.
Looking forward to it because, look.
You'd love him.
Look, I am. When I follow a team, I follow a team. I don't jump off. I don't, you know, pretend that was never my team. The Detroit Lions have always been an infatuation of, can they just please. I mean, they got robbed in Dallas in that playoff game. They picked up that flag on the pass interference. I mean, I could tell you just about anything of the heartbreaks. But now we're moving in the right direction, and it looks like they could be the favorites next year in the North.
Well, it also helps to have a Michigan man, right, like Aiden Hutchinson, right, John? You want to
no doubt
talk him up?
No doubt.
Yeah. No how doubt. Far do you have I mean, Sparty
you're,
going
you're out? Michigan.
How far do you have Sparty going in your tournament bracket? Did you fill one out? How far do you have Izzo going?
I did.
What do you think?
I filled it out, and it's probably of all the draws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no disrespect against the other teams. I think it's they have a chance to advance to Sweet 16.
I think
I don't
so
know
too.
If they were in any other bracket. I mean, it's going to be. It's the same old story. I've watched every game. If they go 5 minutes without scoring a field goal, they're going to lose. And they were clicking there for a while, a little hiccup against Ohio State. But you know Tom, and he'll have them ready. First game's going to be tight the whole way, and hopefully they can win against USC, and then more than likely they're going to face Marquette.
John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk some ball before we just get you to your golf tournament that you're playing in April. I love the World Baseball Classic, man. It just gets my competitive juices flowing in March, you know. And this is it means a lot. Fans are into it. The stars of the game are all in. I am loving it, and I wonder what you think. What you think the World Baseball Classic does for the sport, John?
Well, for the other fringe countries, it's everything. Like, they're trying to build their brand. They're trying to build baseball. They're looking for every exposure and any opportunity. For the marquee countries that have always been known for baseball, it's everything. I mean, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, you know, Japan, all the other countries other than the U.S., this is their opportunity of a lifetime, right? For the U.S., we have obviously a bigger pool to pick from, but there are a lot more restrictions and a lot more things that most people don't know that Team USA can or can't do based on their roster. So it's a little tricky this time of the year when you've got America's sport, USA, but then the reality of getting ready for spring training. A lot of these other countries and a lot of these other players, they've been playing winter ball. They're a little bit more repped up, and they're a little bit like they're closer to ready, probably ready right now, more so than some of the other guys who traditionally use this as an opportunity to get ready for their team. So it is an emotional, chaotic tournament. When I say chaotic, there are so many things, twists and turns that can happen. You would never manage a baseball game the way you have to manage this tournament with scoring more runs when you're up 10 and the scenarios that come into a tiebreaker, what's going to happen today with Colombia and USA and Mexico and Canada. So many scenarios that never come into play to a regular season. So, yes, the fans are in it. It's kind of like a hyped up, incredible tension, fan-based. They love it. And from a manager standpoint for the Team USA, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't realize they cannot do and manage this tournament, like use every player at any – you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
There's a lot of restrictions, rightfully so, on some of these star players for their clubs.
But John Smoltz, Baseball Hall of Famer, Fox Sports, MLB Network analyst here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think of the pitch clock, John? You like it?
Love it. I love everything that's coming to baseball. People are going to absolutely get over their fear of what they think is a cheapened way to play the game or a quirky way to play the game. They're going to love every aspect of it. I can guarantee it. I know people are sitting back going, this is ridiculous. It isn't. It's going to end up being right what they hoped. I mean, they should have done this a long time ago, but they're doing it now. And the shift's going to be the greatest thing that happens that you can't shift.
That I know. That I'm in. By the way, the shift.
100%.
I'm just watching some of these games and seeing line drives to right field actually hit the turf and not the glove of a third baseman that's positioned out there is just a delight. I love it. My concern about the pitch clock, John, is a walk-off pitch clock violation ending an intense rivalry game that requires a result. You know, that people are.
I don't think that's going to happen. I know it's okay. It's happened in spring training. Guys are going to get used to it. I know all the games that the pitchers are playing. They're just trying to see what they can or can't do. It's the time to try everything. Players are going to get used to it. They'll stop, you know, complaining because we will all complain. I mean, when they tried to change the strike zone back when I played, you're like, this is a bunch of, you know, why are they doing this? You learn how to adjust. The player will be fine. There'll be a less than 3% of baseball players who are really going to be impacted by it. And those 3% are going to have to figure out a way. I mean, they're notoriously slow. They're creatures of habit. They're just going to have to figure out a way. But the majority of the game will move faster. There'll be more action. And much like all the rule changes in other sports, the extra point in football, nobody even now they notice because it could cost a game.
Right.
Where before it rarely did. You know, all the defensive changes in hockey and basketball and football, they all get noticed and they all kind of complain in the beginning and then it becomes second nature, and that's what's going to happen here.
No, I like it. More balls in the gap, stolen bases, the bases are bigger, people will be safe, more runners on base. You know, I know that puts pressure on the pitchers, but if these guys are all throwing 9,500, I'm seeing some guys off-speed pitches break in ways I've never seen. You know, right-handers throwing what looks like screwballs. You know, I don't get it, man. And so I like it. I like all of it. I just don't want that pitch clock walk-off violation. That would stink,
not,
man.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, I will take your word for it then. So then what happens with Ohtani? Is that something that's just going to be sort of hanging above the competition for the first 3 months, John, do you think?
As far as what, with Ohtani?
With Ohtani, like where is he going? Is he going to stick around? Is he going to be a trade deadline guy? I mean, that's the question I have with him.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, if I had a crystal ball, yep. I think the Angels are going to see how they start out and see what they can do because they got to get to the playoffs. I mean, the system has been created now for them to have a little better chance. They got the two best players in the universe. They've made some improvements. They have to get to the playoffs. And if they're not trending towards the playoffs, then you make a franchise. I mean, you make a franchise-changing move, in my opinion, and try to get the world for Ohtani. Now, that would have been this offseason, obviously, if you knew you weren't going to sign him long-term. But the greatest player in the world, in my opinion, has reset a value that you if I told you that someone was going to come along to make Mike Trout look human, you'd go, come on, really? And he's going to be on the same team. You'd say, no way. So that's what they have, and they've got to figure out a way. They've got to figure out a way to get these two in the playoffs.
Tell me about this this golf tournament, the Celebrity Classic that you're involved in Texas.
Yeah,
coming
the tournament
up, John.
is a blast because we get to rub elbows, and I've been fortunate to play with a lot of these guys, the Champions Tour guys, and just, you know, celebrities play in their own field alongside the Champions Tour. It's an event for them. It's their event. We get to play in it, much like the January tournament where we're with the LPGA champions. It's just such an unbelievable experience because you literally get to see why they're some of the best in the world. And of course, you know, I'm excited just because I got a new hip. You know, I had a hip replacement, and it looks like things are going to work out that I can play better than I thought I was going to play after having this hip replacement because it takes about 2 to 3 months. So I'm tickled to death to be at this event. And, you know, I kind of, to be honest, I don't give up on things, but I've lessened my competitive drive to play at the highest level, but with a new hip, I think I can pick it back up again.
Look at you, man.
I've got a renewed energy to get after it again and see how I've been playing hurt for too long. I've been swinging. I love golf, as you know.
Yep.
And it wasn't a lot of fun for the last year and a half.
Well, John, it's always fun catching up with you. Let's do it more often. Good luck with your Spartans in the bracket. And everyone should go to invitedcelebrityclassic.com for tickets to this event that John and others like Romo probably going to be there. A whole bunch of folks playing golf.
Yep.
Thanks.
Monica.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, listen.
Yes, sir.
Listen, NIT championship's not that bad. NIT is something to play for. You don't hold your head down on your boys. I'm rooting for them to win the NIT.
You know, we should have spoken last November and October and December and January. It's been too long, John. It's been too long.
It has.
Take care of yourself, John. You be well.
You got it.
That's okay. John Smoltz talking about the Wolverines and the NIT. I got it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right. He said nothing, huh?
He started to say some stuff now.
Okay. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Calls it not a decision day. He's not him announcing to the world what's going on, says Aaron Rodgers. To be continued. That's coming up.
Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with the live Roku channel stream sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jason Kelsey's calling in about 14 minutes time. Bucky Brooks showing up in hour number 3 in studio. Your phone calls throughout, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Appreciate everybody staying patient with me. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. We are going to take your phone calls today. I promise. I'm going to run the table at some point. So it appears Aaron Rodgers still on with Pat? Still
going.
Okay, 27 minutes and counting. And it appears, based on what I was gleaning, talking to Smoltz and seeing your reaction, you're getting in my ear every now and then because I can multitask. There was a bit of a decision aspect to it where it took a while to get to the meet.
Yeah, well, he started by saying it wasn't going to be decision day. And then, Aaron talked for about 15 minutes or so. He said he wanted to kind of clear the air on the timelines and what's been going on, the communication between the two sides, and then said he does intend to play for the Jets this year. Said when he went into the darkness retreat,
yes,
he was 90% retired.
And then he said he comes out and he heard that from folks when he looks at his phone, hey, the Packers are talking about trading you.
Kind of shopping him around a little bit, and then but talking to some people, starting to work back out a little bit. Decided that he wants to play.
Great.
And that he intends to play
for the Jets.
With the Jets.
And he said that he's made that intention known since Friday, and said, from what appears, it's the Packers holding this up.
Yeah, he said,
on quote, compensation.
According to Aaron's words, digging their heels in on compensation. Said that obviously he loves his time there, loved being a Packer, but they had decided to move on from him. And so this is what he wants for the next chapter of his life.
Like I said, the rumor I heard at the Combine was the Packers sure hope that Rodgers comes back and says, I want to move on. It sounds like the Packers have moved on, and that's the point. For that, I say, Packers digging their heels in, I am unconcerned because the alternative is the Jets say to Rodgers, man, we tried. We signed your guy. We're planning on signing your guys. We tried. Green Bay, sorry. You take him back. His $60 million or whatever, it's on your cap. You figure it out. He retires on you, what that means for your cap and all that business. You can move on to Jordan Love how you see fit. Or you can send him our way, and we can give you some compensation for it, and that's the end of that. Nothing's easy in life that you want to have happen, and the Jets definitely want to have this happen. Roger says he wants to come play for the Jets. Words I never thought would come out of his mouth. And after a while, it took apparently 20 minutes to get to that point in the conversation on Pat's show. The Jets Twitter account on point. For our radio audience, it is the moment from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood of Leo pointing at the set. There it is. He's wearing a Jets hat. Yep, there it is. He said he wants to play for us. Just everything I'm hearing out of New York, it's all like he's coming. It's going to happen. So I'm just kind of surprised this wasn't hammered out. Like, we didn't think this was coming. He said since Friday. They've been digging their heels in since Friday? Really?
Well, we heard Adam Schefter say that they didn't hammer this out. Two firsts back.
Get out of here. Two firsts back. Let me just, again, reiterate here. Aaron Rodgers, he said at one point in the conversation, based on some of the texts I'm getting, that he's debatably the best player in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
He just said that himself.
Yeah. Is he wrong? You can debate this.
That's a
fair statement. Debatably,
yeah.
He's the best player in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
Debate? Yeah, sure.
We can debate that.
That's a debate.
Right?
Yeah, I think every word he said is truth.
There's definitely guys who have their hands up, but
of course,
if there's a list, he's on it.
Oh, he's on the very short list.
So, I understand
the list of two.
That there's only one human being who walked the planet who could say on his resume, I was the MVP of Super Bowls 1 and 2. Yeah. Don't forget, Bart Starr, when he, rest his soul, walked the planet, could walk around with a resume.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you do?
Untouched.
I was the MVP of the first two Super Bowls. What'd you do? That's kind of like Neil Armstrong. I was the first guy to walk on the moon. What'd you do? That's the sports version of Neil Armstrong.
That's pretty good.
Okay. And then you have Favre. And you've got Rodgers. And you can argue who the fourth person is on the Mount Rushmore. Vince Lombardi, maybe? We'll talk about the Packers' Mount Rushmore. And I get it.
Reggie?
I understand there's a certain value for Rodgers with that fan base and your fan base. And this is different from Favre coming to the Jets because those Packers back in that day needed to save face sending Favre away. You talk to Packers fans right now, and this is not being disrespectful to Rodgers at all. So trust me when I say this. You talk to Packers fans. There's no face that needs to be saved. Many of them are like, okay, we're ready to move on to Jordan Love. This is not the same feeling I got when it was Favre to Rodgers. Rodgers has a place in the hearts and minds of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I do hope one day for Rodgers that he does get the Favre treatment, which is come on back. We'll make an arrangement with you. Come back and wave to the crowd. And you're part of our world forever because he is debatably the best Green Bay Packer of all time. But he's also 39. And he's now in the mode of 90% retired? Really? Okay. So I'm going to take on somebody who was 90% retired. I'm going to take that guy at age 39. I'm going to remake my roster to make him happy. I'm going to bring that guy on, and I'm going to give you draft compensation, obviously, for him. Two ones, though? Get out of here.
Let me throw it back at you.
Get out of here. So you take him back.
Hold on. This guy was 90% retired, right? He comes out of, you know, whatever he did there and sees that this team that he was probably going to retire from anyway, but they're ready to move on from him. And he's like, hold on a second. I still got a lot left. Maybe you're getting chip on your shoulder, Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't that be worth two ones to you?
That's who you're getting.
But you're suddenly now relevant. You're now a Super Bowl contender.
Got it.
Why isn't that worth two first-round picks?
Because I want to use the first-round pick this year at 13th overall, and I want to use the first-round pick next year. And first-round picks for Russell Wilson and also for Matthew Stafford.
Got Matthew Stafford a Super Bowl.
How old were they? In their early 30s. This guy's pushing 40, and I know he could play in the Brady plan. Brady's the outlier.
Now, Tom Brady changed everything for these guys.
Oh, really? Ask Breeze how his body held up. Ask Roethlisberger how his body held up. And I believe in Rodgers can
not
play.
Not the same.
I am taking the approach that the Jets must have with Green Bay because, I know you're saying two ones for these guys. They're former. They didn't win MVPs. One guy in Russell never got a vote for MVP despite having a trophy in the case. I get it.
I think this is huge.
But for the Jets, it's just like, damn straight, Broncos, Packers digging their heels in. Fine. Dig your heels in. Then you get a highly disgruntled Aaron Rodgers back on your payroll in your building. Take him back.
I do not agree with your attitude.
I am absolutely doing that.
I am shocked.
Wow.
I am absolutely
you're crazy. This Aaron Rodgers becomes the best player in the history of your franchise.
I am
give up whatever for this guy.
I am absolutely holding that line. What are you saying? What happened just over there? What do you happen over there?
He just basically said, you know, there's a few people who report on him, and so and so, if that's what their name is, ask this person what I text them. It's basically lose my number. He's kind of going in on the media who are reporting these things about him.
Okay.
And he's saying that, like, he said Schefter. He goes, ask Schefter what I text him when he somehow got my number. Lose it.
All right. I mean,
so that's where he's at right now in the
conversation. I think you're crazy, Rich. Like, if this guy says he wants to play for you, yes. It's like,
oh, I know.
You don't
even
let
him
finish the conversation.
But even he's the one saying the Packers are digging their heels in, meaning he would understand two ones.
I'm sure
for somebody who was in a darkness retreat. Which, by the way, I know we've been having our fun with it. I do not denigrate that. He's doing whatever he needs to do for his own mental state.
Yeah.
In this day and age, to salute, do what you've got to do to keep your head on straight and succeed to the highest level that you can. Again, I know we have fun with that because the NFL doesn't sit around and think about mental state a lot, and they should. We all know we should. But he went into his darkness retreat 90% retired. He comes out, and he wants to play again, and he says he wants to play for the Jets, and he's saying the Packers are digging their heels in. That means he even understands that what the Packers are asking is something that is refusable for the Jets. I'm just going to figure out that business is business. Houses get sold when everybody tries to make a last-minute thing threatening to blow stuff up. Because the bottom line is, you want Aaron Rodgers back on your payroll to that amount of money, then be our guest. We don't want it that way. We want Rodgers. Rodgers wants to come here. We're set for you. We're set for him. But clearly, he wanted to put the pressure on and turn it up on Gutekunst today, and he has succeeded.
Well, also seems like he was told before that take your time, and then we'll work this out whenever you're back. And then he goes dark, and they're secretly shopping him, and he's kind of like, you know, screw you guys. I'm going to come back and play for this team.
To be continued. And here I thought it was going to be nice and done. It's going to happen.
Oh, I think so.
Let's take a break. Jason Kelsey's calling in. When we're back, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of our favorites, will make his Rich Eisen show debut. Let's get our concurrence up and running. Jason Kelsey here on the Rich Eisen show on the Roku channel. We're back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, along with Sirius XM and Odyssey, and joining us here on the program after his brother Travis has been on many times. Even his mother and his father have been on the Rich Eisen show. Finally joining us, Jason Kelsey. I would never have bet that the Kelsey parents would have beaten you to the Rich Eisen show punch, but it was a delight to have them on at the Super Bowl, Jason. Delight.
Yeah, you found out firsthand the actual best people to interview are my parents. They're the most interesting. They got the best story. They were sitting there front and center all along the way. and remember things a lot better than Travis or I do. I can't thank you enough for having them on.
Oh, come on.
We've talked about this too, but you know, one of my favorite things about the Super Bowl week was kind of seeing my parents get to share in Travis and I's, moment in the spotlight of going to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, everybody can relate to watching their sons or daughters. And you know, I think that, my parents being out there and being able to come on your show and, the national audience able to see them. And it was really, really great to let them have that moment because they're just as big of a part of us making it to the NFL as we were.
I've always seen, my mom is proud of what I've done and my brother's done, but she's never had a promo code from a pizza company out of it, Jason.
I think Donna Kelsey has officially signed more endorsement deals than I have in 13 years in the NFL.
It is amazing. Let's just jump into your decision. You know, obviously, the NFL news media sports world talking about Aaron Rodgers' decision, and he just said that he's intending to play again and he wants to play for the Jets. And what about your decision process from Super Bowl to the moment you decided to come back to Philadelphia that you're willing to share, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously different situations than what Aaron's doing. And I know that, you know, as a fan, I can imagine it's frustrating when there's indecisiveness on behalf of a player. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. And when you care a lot, especially I'm sure the way Aaron Rodgers does, and you want to win and you want everything to go right, you put a lot of thought process into what that next season is going to look like. And for me, the big decision was whether I wanted to play again. And I've been in this same boat probably 4 or 5 years now. I think it just, as you get a little bit older, it's not even just the physical part. It's the mental part. It's knowing everything that it's going to take, to do it right and to do it well. Not just for yourself, but for your teammates, for your organization. When you become an older guy, you know, it's just about your play, right? You're part of the thing that keeps it going in the right direction. Not just by breaking down a huddle, but by how you come to work every day, by how engaged you are in meetings, whether you have the energy to talk to a guy in the cafeteria and add value to that conversation, whether it's football or outside of football, right? And all of this requires a commitment, and that commitment, you know, is something that I ultimately felt that I wanted to do again. It's something that I love doing. It's a grind, but I know at some point that's going to be over, and I wasn't ready for it to be over yet.
And then your family, your wife, and how, you told me at the combine when I sat down for the New Heights pod, you have three kids, and they're what, 3, 2, and 1? Is that what you have, or a baby?
Not even one. 3, 2, and 3 weeks now.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I was sitting down with you, my newborn, mm-hmm. Bennett Llewellyn, was 4 days old. And so when I left, she was 4 days old. When we sat down, probably about 6, 7. But
right.
And this energy and commitment to do anything at the top, at the highest level, right? Whether it's football, business, you know, podcasting, to be the best, it takes time and it takes mental focus and attention and detail. And ultimately that detracts from giving that to my wife and kids to some extent. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be, dramatic, but, you know, when I come home in season, I'm exhausted, right? Now, the way I reference, they are only 3 weeks old, so I got a lot of time here ahead of me with them.
Yes.
But, you know, that's certainly something that weighs on it, and I talk to my wife, Kylie, a lot, and she's awesome. She will never – I sometimes I just want her to make the decision for me, but she doesn't do that. She just kind of, like, asks me questions, and we get to the answer – together, and she was really, really helpful towards the end, where she was like, you know what, if you've been thinking about this much and you're still debating it and you're still you know, you're still going back and forth, you still want to play. When you don't want to play, it'll be clear. You'll not want to play. And I think that was probably the best advice I got from anybody.
How much, Jason Kelce, did your decision to come back, do you think, in retrospect, hinge on the fact that you guys lost the Super Bowl? Had you won your second ring and had the parade and the Mummers outfit, the whole thing again, would you have maybe strolled off into the sunset, do you think, Jason?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, before the Super Bowl, I got asked that question by media members.
Yep.
You know, if you win, are you done? Is this going to impact your decision? And at the time, I said no, and I still, you know, I like to think that won't impact it, because I don't think it should. But it does, I think. And, you know, I don't know what would have happened if we would have won. But my brother said something that off season before the, ironically, my brother was the one who said this, before we even started the season. He said, you know, we're sitting in front of a bunch of people at a charity event down at the Jersey Shore. And he says, you know, losing a Super Bowl, I won one and I've lost one, but losing a Super Bowl, man, you've never wanted to win one that much more. And at the time, I'm like, that's great. Or he's just saying something that the fans that are there in attendance, like, it sounds good. And, you know, just acting like he's really motivated to win a Super Bowl. And then I lost a Super Bowl for my first time. I realized, okay, he wasn't just saying that. That's true. You know, it's right. It really does. It is heartbreaking to go that far with a really good team and all these guys and to be that close and not get it done. It's a difficult thing and to cope with, and I'll probably always be coping with that. You know, but you know, we had a great year, special group, and you know, this whole time making this decision, I've tried to remind myself, you know, just because we got there last year, you know, we're going to have a great team next year. I fully believe that. We have, as long as Jalen Hurts is the quarterback,
right?
I think Philadelphia is in great hands, and will be perennial contenders for that award.
That's what I was going to ask you, Jason, is the fact that you did decide to come back, how does it factor how does the guy you're snapping to factor in that decision, right? I mean, he's so special. And so I guess in a couple minutes I have left with you, Jason, is the how are you even surprised at how improved he became as a thrower and a leader and a dog, you know, like that guy, Jalen Hurts, Jason?
So not surprised in that guy. You know, there's certain people that I think when you come in contact with them, you can feel their energy, and you know, he's always had that humble but confident nature. And I think that's a great place to be for any player. You know, you want to be humble enough to know that you got to get better and you need to improve, but confident enough to know that you can do it and you can become the best. And I think that Jalen has kind of exuded that from his rookie year. And you see, he has the physical tools. You know, I know that everybody questioned the throwing. Well, I would watch him in 7-on-7 make throws that were, you know, on point routinely. You know, you see the physical attributes with the running, and you see the instincts of pocket presence and knowing when to escape. And he's a natural leader. So, you know, he's got all the traits. So usually when somebody has all the traits, the only thing that holds them back is some type of mental capacity or some type of setback. So, I think that it was apparent that there was something special about him. And to his credit, he's put the work in. He stayed humble. And that's one of the things that I appreciate most. In a world where everybody's got their own podcast and everybody's on Twitter and everybody's on social media, and it's really easy to lash out. You know, somebody criticizes you, you do this. Somebody points out one of your weaknesses, you deflect. This kid has done it the right way every step. And he takes notes of it. You know, you can still take things personal, but how do you constructively move forward and make yourself a better player? Like, do you deny your weaknesses? Because that's not good. Or do you give somebody else the power to say what you are? Because that's not good. Or do you just kind of note where you're at and keep just putting forth the work as an individual. And, you know, okay, that's what you think? I'll show you. And this kid's had an unbelievable career so far, and he's a big reason, obviously, to why I'm looking forward to this next season.
Jason Kelce, you're the man. Thank your wife and your family on behalf of all Eagles fans who are jacked up that you're coming back, and then for all of us who are just so excited to see what you can do, and I just love watching you play, like I told you when I was on your pod. And, you know, say hi to your folks. And say hi to your brother, who's so big time that he wasn't part of the pod because he was doing SNL. And then he shows up here in Los Angeles, doesn't let me know he's in town. And I know he's in town because I see all the photographs from the Vanity Fair party for the Oscars because he's such a big timer. Look at him on the red carpet there. Wow. I mean, he's
killer.
What's happened to this man? I mean, I don't even know who he is anymore, Jason. I don't get it anymore. So say hi to him for me, okay?
I will. Thank you very much for having me, Rich.
You're the man. Say and say, turn to the right and cough, okay? Thanks, Jason.
All righty.
Take care, bro.
All right, thank
Jason
you.
Kelce, getting back into his physical for his new contract.
Wow, that's funny.
It's the way I say hello and goodbye.
And goodbye.
Jason Kelce, he's not at the red carpet. Bucky Books joining us here in studio, and more breaking news here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hour 3. Still here.
I'd still just like to know how Jason and Travis just seemed like they turned out completely different.
Dude.
Which is funny.
I can attest, again, my brother and I, same mother, totally different personalities. Yeah. He will tell you that. I will tell you that. You take a look at my two same for you.
My brother's the same. Yeah.
My two oldest sons, you know them. You've met them.
Yeah,
totally different.
But Jason
totally different
seems
interests,
like he grew up
totally
listening to country, and Trav grew up listening to hip hop, and it's just very evident when they talk and the way they dress. I just find that kind of funny.
By the way, did you see any of Trav? Because I missed because I was doing the combine and sleeping, and I did finally catch up on Travis's SNL.
It was good.
Dude, him in the American Girl doll store.
That was rich. Oh my.
Is truly.
That was disturbing.
Next. It was disturbing.
It was so
but
disturbing.
It was risky for him.
It was.
But like John Cena level comic beats out of him.
I mean, he went for it.
He went for it. And he. I saw that. I'm like, who does that comic style remind me of? And it was Cena.
Yeah I could see you saying,
you know what I mean?
Like Jason had Jason popped up a few times.
I know he
too.
Did I know when he hopefully Jason's gonna be out. He's coming out for the broadcast boot camp. We'll have him in studio. I want to delve in more on that. I just wanted to focus more on his comeback here,
but American doll thing, Rich,
it was funny. Hey Travis, when you're in LA, let me know you're in town, like my buddy Sam Prince. I don't need to see pictures of you on the red carpet to know you're in town.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.